I feel like the Lord's been talking to me a little this week. I wrote on the board, "He that is spiritual and walk with God." And I want us to look at the Word of God a little bit. I believe that the Lord wants our lives to be in touch with Him. The Lord wants us to have a real live experience with the Lord, where through that experience, we receive of God. We receive of Him grace to do right. We receive of Him the peace of God that He wants lives to have. We receive of Him the peace in our homes that makes homes happy. That comes from God. We know what comes from the flesh, and we know the things that the enemy has there. But I want to give us a little of the word of the Lord this morning. God wants us to walk with Him. He really does. And He wants to impart some things to us. And the phrase, "He that is spiritual," we'll read that in one of the scriptures after a while, Lord willing. But I want to start in Genesis, the 5th chapter and 22nd verse. And it says here, "And Enoch," now this is way back. This is back before the flood. And it says, "And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years." Now, I know I read this maybe a year ago or two. Clark says of that word, "He walked with God," it says he set himself to walk. He was fixedly purposed and determined to live to God. Those who are acquainted with the original will at once see that it has this force in the original tongue, that he set himself to walk with God. Enoch walked with God in a time where the world wasn't walking with God. And I just want us to notice a few little things that we get out of this. I believe that the scripture, when it says he walked with God, it's meaning something intimate, isn't it? It's meaning that there is another one of the commentary said, "Walking with God implies community with Him in thought, word, and deed, and is opposed in Scripture to walking contrary to Him." And you know, that makes me think that this is more than just a mediocre something. When it says Enoch walked with God, another Scripture says that he had this testimony. This is in Hebrews 11. He had this testimony that he pleased God. And you know, and it says that the Lord took him. He translated him. Enoch never saw death like we do. And you know, I believe that we see that there was something so pleasing to God with Enoch's life that it says he translated him. That's an amazing thing. But you know, it says that he lived 300 years and he begat sons and daughters. You know, today, we live in a time where we don't live 365 years. None of us will. But we have children. We have life to deal with. Enoch had to make a living. Enoch had all these things, just like we do. And I want to challenge us today. God wants us, even more so than Enoch, to walk with Him. He wants us to walk with Him. It says He had this testimony that He pleased God. You know, there's no other way to please God than to walk with Him. There's no way that we can do enough good things. And I believe in doing right things. I believe it's required of us. But for us to just try to serve Him and do the best we know, serve Him by doing all the don'ts and the do's and being careful with all, that's still, we're just trying to do something good. God wants there to be relationship with Him. He wants our life to walk with Him. God wants to impart to our lives some things that changes us, says Enoch pleased God. You know, he lived in a time where most others probably were not pleasing God. And if you read there, doesn't look like most of them were pleasing God. But Enoch, it says he pleased God. And he did it not unlike us. Everything wasn't just lined up and right so Enoch could please God. He had all the troubles we have. Only he didn't have a car to jump in and go where we want to go. And he didn't have the conveniences of all the things that we had. And he still had to eke out a living. He still had to work hard. He still had to do the things. I'm assuming he did just like we do. He made a living. He did all those things. But he did something else. In all of that, in all of the raising of the child, in all those things, he walked with God. You know, this morning, I've just been challenged all week long. The Lord wants us to walk with him, folks. And that's really the only way that we're going to be able to please God. If we want to make it from here to eternity and live with God, we're going to have to please him. And we can't do that on our own. We can't be good enough to do that. We fail. We lose. We live without peace. We do all those things when we don't walk with God. And this morning, I want to challenge us that God not only wants us to be saved, but he wants to take us from there. He wants us, I believe wholeheartedly, he doesn't want it to stop there. He wants to fill us with the power of his Holy Spirit in our life. It's life-changing. He wants that for us. He longs for that for us. It comes to those that are his. God gives that to his children. He wants us to have that. And then he wants us to please him. And you know, the Lord wants us through life to walk with him. And to be able, I want to talk a little more later about what it means. How do we walk with God? How do we do that? You know, I think about the scripture in Matthew 26 and 41, and I want to look at that. Jesus told his disciples there a very valuable truth. Matthew 26 and 41, he said, "Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." You know, this morning, God wants to empower us. He really wants to do this. He wants to empower us to be able to be strong. He said the flesh is weak, but he told us to do two things. He said watch and pray. And sometimes we just watch. That's natural. I want to do the right thing. I don't want to do the wrong thing. I don't want to get caught up. But he said do something else. He said pray. And you know, this morning, I believe sometimes many, I believe this, just watch. They want to not do wrong. They want to serve God, but we will never please God, and we will never find it pleasing to ourselves until we serve him and walk with him and please him. In that, when we walk with God, that's more than just saying that, I'm trying to do his word. That's saying, I have something very personal with the Lord. There's times that he begins to speak to me. I receive grace at that place where I find the Lord. That's where we begin to win our battles, not because we fight so hard, but because God lives his will through our life. And that, I believe, is the secret of a Christian's happy life. It's the secret of a Christian's life that is successful all the way to the end. This morning, if we're not careful, we'll find ourselves wrestling with the wrong end of the problem. Wrestling, fighting, working, struggling, trying in our own strength. And that's not where the victory is. You know, this morning, God wants us to have victory, but it's going to come from him. It's going to come from the grace of God living through us. It's going to come from the strength of God. That means we've got to get a hold of him. That means we've got to do more than just trying to do right. We've got to get a hold of God. And God's got to get a hold of us. And you know, when he does that, there's something wonderful that begins to happen. There is a life that He wants to live through you and me, that serves His purpose, that causes us to be fulfilled, that serves humanity, that lives in such a way that people are blessed, that our children are blessed. We want them to be blessed, don't we? I believe there's only one way. We're going to have to walk with the Lord if we want them to be really blessed by God. I will tell you, you get the Holy Spirit up that close to those children and you walk with the Lord, it's going to have an effect on the children this morning. The Lord wants to live a life of godliness through us. We fail of the grace of God. And if we do, it is because it is a symptom that we are not walking with God. That He's not living in our life like He wants to. Peter wanted to serve God. He was following Jesus. And he made an utter, downright, horrible failure. I don't believe we have to do that. Peter did not, for one thing, he didn't pray when the Lord told him to pray. But, of course, we know he wasn't filled with the power of God yet. But I want to say this. If we fail, it is a symptom of something deeper. And I want to encourage all of us to seek the Lord. Seek Him and learn to know Him and walk with God. And when you do, all those things that we so desire, direction, calling, grace, strength, the grace to resist temptation, all of those things come from the power of God. It comes from that power working in our life. It doesn't come from the things because we are so strong. If I ever hear a person say that, I know that they're in trouble. They're in trouble because we won't make it on our own. There isn't any amount of goodwill that's strong enough to defeat the enemy in our life. So many times I believe we're grappling with the wrong end of the problem. We're working, trying. Oh, I keep failing. Oh, I keep misstepping. Well, you know, God wants us to turn around and say, Lord, forgive me. I'm sorry. He wants us to do that if we fail. And we have an advocate with the Father. But I will tell you, a life like that won't last. And we begin to fail. The Lord wants to give us more than that, something better than that. And He gave it through the power of His Holy Spirit to enable us to be able to live pleasing to the Lord. Enoch lived pleasing to the Lord. How could he have just been translated? Because he was living pleasing to the Lord. Way back there, before the grace that Christ came to bring, before the power of the Holy Ghost in people's lives, Enoch separated himself to God and lived for Him. And we see how the Lord blessed him for that. I thought about Adam and Eve. And you know, I suppose that Adam and Eve was walking with God. Because God came down there in the garden after Adam failed, after Adam disobeyed God. And called for Adam. It sounded like that was something God did, didn't it? He called for Adam. You know what? God calls for us too, doesn't He? But we see that Adam and Eve just simply chose to disobey God. And you know, when they did that, was not their fellowship broken? I will tell you, God cannot. He cannot commune with us. He cannot live in our life. And He put them out of the garden because they deliberately disobeyed God. You know, this morning, God wants us to follow Him and He wants us to serve Him, but it's not in ourself. Paul the Apostle, what was he trying to do? All the things that he had been taught. And he said, after the straightest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. Now, Paul, the Pharisees were very careful to keep all the law. They were very careful to live that way. And he said, as touching zeal, or he said he had zeal by persecuting the church. He was trying to do everything he knew. As touching the righteousness of the law, he said he was blameless. But you know what? When Paul was on that road and Jesus called his name, he didn't even know who he was. He didn't know the Lord. He was doing all of that in his own strength. And the Lord wanted something more for Paul, didn't he? I want to look at Philippians 3 and 8. I really believe, in fact, I know that this is many times our troubles. Starting at verse 8, Philippians 3. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Now, you know what Paul had? He had just listed all these things that he had. He was a Pharisee. He was devout. He was blameless according to the law. And all of those things. And he said, I just count them but loss. I count them but manure. And he said, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found of him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. You know, Paul wanted to know the Lord. He wanted to know, and he said he had to put those things behind him that justified him. You know, this morning, God wants us to live righteously, holy, truly. He wants us to keep his commandments, but he wants to do that through us. It's not us doing it without a relationship with him. If we are going to have the grace of God, the grace that comes from God, the divine enablement of God working through us, we're going to have a real close connection with the Lord. We're going to have him talking to us. We're going to have his strength enabling us and blessing us. And Paul, he said he had to put those things behind him because he did all of this stuff. And surely he was a righteous man. According to the law, he was blameless. And yet Paul had no salvation at all. You know, this morning, I just want to challenge all of us. We have to have salvation. We have to have the power of God working in our life. We have to have the power of the Holy Spirit working in our life if we want to have grace from God. The Lord wants us to walk with him. Enoch had this testimony that he pleased God. You know, without the grace and power of God working in our life, it is impossible to have that testimony. There's only one way, and that is to walk with the Lord and to serve him in that way. We'll talk about that a little bit more. But in John 14 and verse 15, John 14 and 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. So now does this grace of God make us that we don't have to keep the commandments of God? Is it just all the grace of God? Not so. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. That's the will of God. But I will tell you, you won't do one without the other because you'll do a poor job at it if you try to do that. I was thinking about the song that says, walk with God and you will find that his love is all around. That's all I could remember of that song. I wish I had it, but Rosie couldn't find it at the house. Walk with God and you will find that his love is all around. You know, when we walk with the Lord and when we please him, what we're going to find is we're going to find the blessing of the Lord on every hand. I know that we're going to have our troubles just like Jesus did. We're going to have our trials. We're going to have persecutions. We're going to have distresses. The children are going to wake up and be sick and all of these things. And we're going to have trouble being able to follow through with our commitments to walking with God. But you know what? Through all of that, I believe if we'll follow him and follow through on walking with the Lord, the rest of it will take its own place. It really will. I believe that. In 1 Corinthians 2 and 14, but before we read that, I think about the scripture that says, find grace to help in time of need. How do we find that grace? And how do we find that? How do we have the mind of the Lord and not our own mind? In 1 Corinthians 2 and 14 and 15, it reads, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him." Did you know that this morning? The natural man don't receive the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness to him. They are. They're foolishness to the natural man. So if we try to understand the will of God, and we're not totally his, and we're not walking with him, we're going to have some misconceptions. I don't believe there's any way around it. But it says, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. That's why, folks, it is so critically important for us to walk with God, because there's many things about life that are spiritually discerned. Many things that in the flesh we could just simply throw off and say, that's foolishness. I don't believe that. I don't think so. But I will tell you, when we walk with the Lord, and when we walk close to him, and when we nuzzle up to the Lord, and we take his way, and we become his, truly his property. Lord, I'm yours. I'm going to make a covenant with you. I'll be your people. I'll be your person, and you be my God. And you know, when we give ourselves to the Lord, then he makes a covenant with us too. He said he would. But it goes on to say, but he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. You know, not only does it say they're spiritually discerned and the natural man can't discern them, it says that he that is spiritual, that's what I wrote on the board, he that is spiritual judgeth all things. You know, the Lord gives us discernment. Many times you see people take things into their lives, disregarding maybe what they're told or whatever. And you see them and you realize, this is going to hurt you. This is going to hurt you. Maybe you tell them that. Don't you know this is going to hurt you? No, I don't believe that. I don't think there's anything about this that I shouldn't or should do. But you know, it says, he that is spiritual judgeth all things. The things that come our way in life, the decisions we have to make, what we're going to allow into our life, what we're going to allow into our home, the kind of relationships I'm going to have, the kind of things I'm going to let myself be a part of, the things that the standards that I'm going to live my life by. You know, those things are spiritually discerned. And if we don't draw up close to God, we're going to have our own mind about things. And if we have our own mind about things, then we're going to have our own set of things, our own set of guidelines in our life. And those are not going to prosper us spiritually. Those things are not going to take us to heaven. And so I believe it all comes back to this. We've got to walk with God. We need to settle it in our hearts. I am going to be a person that is going to walk with God. I decided that when I was young, that I was going to take the time to walk with the Lord. I was going to take the time, and I will tell you, I really believe it pays off more dividends than we ever begin to put into it. All right. I know there's several aspects of walking with the Lord, and maybe we'll discuss some of those in coming Sundays. But I'm thinking, now I want to get down to a little bit of how do we do this. Psalms 1, it speaks of a man. And it says, I want to read several things that living for the Lord is like. Okay? The righteous, it says, are like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water. That's what they're like. Now I want to read that, Psalms 1 and 1. And I want us to think a little bit about what it's saying there. It says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Now those are also part of walking with the Lord. I'm not talking about that part today. Nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And I want to ask us today, is that where our delight is? The things of God are my chief aim, my chief delight. Can we say that this morning? But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Now, you think about that. In Oklahoma, it's pretty easy for us to know that. You drive out through western Oklahoma, and you see trees in a row, and they're all curving around. You know what they're following? The creek, aren't they? They're following the river or the little stream or whatever it is. And we find them growing and prospering when everything around is scorching because they're planted by the river of water. You know, it says that the righteous will be like that. He'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. But it says something before, in that verse before, that we want to get a hold of. It says, in his law doth he meditate day and night. You know, that's his focus. That's his aim. That's his life. And everything else just comes to help that process. You know, when living for God is just something we want to do along with the rest of our life, we will never know the Lord like that. Living for God has to be our chief aim, our number one thing. That has to be the thing we will take care of in our life. And everything else just helps that along, or sometimes tries to hinder it. But the Lord wants us to walk with Him. And I believe if we'll do this, we will see our life begin to be like this tree planted by the river of water. And it goes on. It's not just like a tree planted, but it says that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. When it's time to bear fruit, he's going to bear fruit. You know why? Because he's been drinking of the living water, of the living stream, of God's water, of God's Spirit, of his Word, of the things that make people grow, the things that make life, that challenges our life. God wants to give that to us today. He wants our life to be something that has God in it, in the middle of it, that we walk with him. And when he is just something that we want to do, we want to serve him along with our life. No, God has to be first. Number one, he has to be the center. Everything else works around him. And when we do it like that, we'll be like a tree planted by the river of water. I believe it happens every time that way. That bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Isn't that a blessing? Whatever he doeth shall prosper. This is what the psalmist says of the man that walks with God, and that loves his ways, and that eats his word, that he's going to be like this. The ungodly are not so, the scripture says, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away, dried up spiritually, doing things that curse their own body and their own families and all of those things. The ungodly are like that. They're like the chaff that the wind blows away. No substance there. Nothing that really is there to feed and to bless. No seed in that thing to bless the next generation. The ungodly are like that, like the chaff. There isn't anything in that. I want to encourage us this morning to be like the godly man or woman that walks with him and serves him. I want to read a little more about what we are like. In John 15:5 is another scripture many of us are very familiar with. And Jesus here was speaking, and he said, I am the vine. Jesus said that. Ye are the branches. Now, what is he indicating again? The same type of relationship almost as that tree planted by the rivers of water. Only this time he says, I'm the vine and you're the branches. But you have to feed from that. You have to spend time with that. You have to allow God that place in our life where the feeding goes on, and allow him that place in our life where we seek him, where we search for him in our life, and God begins to feed us. He begins to minister to us the juice that comes from his Holy Spirit, the good things, the peace of God that makes our lives what they are. That comes from God. Doesn't come from this world, I'll tell you. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him. Here we are together, walking together. How can two walk together except they be agreed? Here we are walking together. I in you, and you in... Or he said, I in him, he that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. And I'd like for us to get a hold of that this morning. Without me, Jesus said, you can do nothing. You believe that this morning? I do. I would hate to try to do anything without the power and the strength of the Lord. Because the devil will be right there fighting to take away that bliss that he made for our home. Trying to take away that peace that he made for our soul. Don't you know Satan resists every good thing? That thing that would keep us from stepping aside and dishonoring the Lord. If we didn't have God, don't you know Satan would win easily? All right, so there's a lot more about that. And verse 4 says, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. You can't bear fruit of ourselves. It isn't possible. No matter how good we try to be, it isn't going to happen. God wants a relationship with us. He wants us to abide in him. He wants our life to be fixed in him. He wants our desires to be toward him. And when they are, then he says, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. In Mark 12 and 30 is a little, we're all pretty, most of us pretty familiar with this scripture. But Mark 12 and 30 says, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. Now, he got that out of the Old Testament, didn't he? That was even Old Testament, to love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. Now, that was Old and New Testament. But you know, I was thinking about, and many times I've thought about this, in the Old Testament, what did the Lord require of those people? He required them to give the best of their animals, to sacrifice them, those without any blemish. That wasn't for them. That was for the Lord. He required them the offering of the first fruits. Now, all these things have meaning. They don't mean we don't do any of this now, but I'm just telling you what the Lord required some things of them. To eat only clean meats, and never to eat that which was described as unclean, meaning different types of birds and animals. They were commanded to let their land rest every 7 years. The males were to appear before the Lord 3 times a year at the various feasts. And like I say, all these things have meaning. And the Lord wants us, he has things he wants us to do. But they were commanded that on the Sabbath they could not do any work. Now we know that the Sabbath is a Sabbath of rest that God gives to our souls. We never again take our own way. That's what the Sabbath, the true Sabbath is. Hebrews makes that very plain. But you know, this morning they were commanded to give tithes and offerings of the best they had. You know, they had a lot of rigid things they had to do. It was very intrusive in their life. Very intrusive, all the things that they had to, rituals and all this kind of thing. But you know, today, can we not love the Lord with all of our heart and all of our mind and all of our strength and all of our soul? Can we not love him, or is it intrusive? I just want to ask us that question this morning. Many times I've wanted to ask this question. Is it too intrusive, or are we all the Lord's? That's what God wants us to be, all his. And then we'll willingly give. We won't withhold from God, not if we're all his. We'll willingly do the things God requires of us if we're all his. If we look at this, at living for God, as something intruding in our life, we have the wrong view of the things of God. And I want to encourage us today to look at the things of God. Lord, I am yours. I want to know how you want me to live. I want to live close to you. I want to be like a tree that's planted by the river of water. I want to be like that vine. I want to be like that branch that's hooked up to the vine. I want to be drawing from you. I want you to be giving me understanding of your will, of your complete will. You didn't lay down every little thing for me to do like you did in the Old Testament. You didn't just make a law for every little, but Lord, I want to know exactly what you want me to do. I want to serve you in ways that glorify you. I want to live in ways that glorify you. I want to present myself in ways that glorify you. I want to draw strength from you. When I'm up against it, I want you to give me patience. You know, those things come from God living His grace through us, not from us just trying so hard. So when we see ourselves so tried, yes, we want to try to be everything we can. But I will tell you where it's going to really come from. That's from the Lord working in our life and living through us. Lord, I want to be able to resist temptation. I'll tell you where it comes from. It comes from a real relationship with God. And so many times we are so working so hard on all these loose ends and missing the point of the whole thing. And that is to walk with God. You know, if we walk with God, we're going to spend time with Him. We're going to draw from Him. It's going to come from His plant, from His vine into our branch. And we're going to spend that kind of time looking to the Lord and asking Him. You know, it takes energy and time for that branch to draw from that plant, from that vine. It takes energy and time for us too. It takes time when we have to just stop what we're doing. And we have to take time for the Lord. And we have to let our spirit seek Him. Lord God, have mercy on me. I need your mind. I have my mind about some things. And how many times has the Lord changed our mind? How many times have we known and realized that wasn't the mind of the Lord? That was my thoughts. And the Lord begins to speak to us and He begins to change our thoughts. Change our mind. Lord, I need your grace. Lord, I want to do your will. I want to be truly yours. I want your will in my life. I want your calling in my life. I want to know that my life has purpose. Now, I know this is this asking for a lot? It is. It's asking for everything, isn't it? That's what God told us we had to do. Love Him with all of our heart and all of our soul and our mind and our strength. That's God's. And you know what? When we do that, He said, if you'll seek me first, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Everything we need will be added because God has the power to do that, doesn't He? And He told us He would. So I want to challenge us today to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Seek Him. Learn to live close to Him. Walk with Him. I urge everybody. And I've done this for a long time. As anytime I get the chance, I urge us not only to have worship daily, but at least once a week, take a few hours and be quiet before God. And if you just can't sit down, walk. But pray. Seek Him. Look up to the heavens, Lord. I need your help. I need your mercies. Let your spirit pray. Let your heart cry out to God. Let yourself begin to draw from Him. Begin to seek Him until He rains righteousness into our lives. Listen, God wants to give us all that we need and then some. He wants to give us all that we need and then some. We're more than conquerors, the Bible says, through Him that loved us. Not only do we conquer, but we possess what we conquered. That's what enemies do. When they capture another land, they don't just conquer them. Then they possess it. Then it's theirs. They draw from it. They enjoy it. God wants us to conquer some things in our life. And we can work so hard and fail all our life. Or we can draw close to God. And look at those things and know that one that walks with us is able to make me conquer this morning. He wants to make us conquer. Take some time. I say it again. I urge us. Take time to be holy, the song says. Why does that say it like that? Because it's talking about this very thing. Draw from God. Draw from Him. Take time to draw from the Lord. Lord, have mercy on me. And you know what I found? He will. He will, and He'll give us more than we thought He would. Every day, every week, all through our life, get His mind, get His thoughts, get His grace. Those things come from God, don't they? They don't come from us just simply searching them out. We need the Spirit of the Lord to reveal some things to us. We need Him to reveal to us ourselves. How can I know myself? I don't believe I can. I cannot possibly unless God helps me to know myself. Unless He helps me be meek so I can take advice from others. So I can hear their criticisms if need be. So that I can hear the little whispers. A wise man will... how does it say it? A whisper is sufficient? Something meaning that. Just a little bit. And the Lord wants us to have it. But I will tell you, if we are just plunging on in our way, and our life has God somewhere out here on the sideline, you know, God's going with me. I'm sure I'm taking Him with me. Then we're going the wrong way, and we'll never make it all the way in. But if we'll follow God and be in the center of His will and let Him work through us and walk with us through life, He will begin to unfold the mysteries of godliness in our life. He will begin to give us, you know, the Lord has premonitions. Did you know that? Did you know the Lord knows ahead of time? Many times. He sees something on down the line, and He would like to tell us that. He would. He would like to tell us those things. He knows what's going to happen. And so He wants to reveal those things. But we've got to stop. We've got to hear. We've got to listen. One more scripture I'm just going to quote in Zechariah 4 and 6. It says, not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. I will tell you the secret to living for God is not by our might or our power, but it's by His Spirit. It's by the work of the Lord working in our life and living through us and in us and being to us all that He would like to be. We sang that song about going to the garden alone. Do you know the Lord wants us to have many times through our life like that? Many times where we come to the garden of God and we begin to seek Him and He begins to talk to us. And He tells us that we are His own. And He assures us and He gives us strength and He renews us. Isn't that what God does? He loves us, doesn't He? But we're going to have to go to the garden alone. And we're going to have to seek the Lord. We're going to have to make Him number one and not a part in our life. Amen.